Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. Let the church say amen one more time. I always like to give reverence to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I count it an honor to be able to preach God's word, and I don't take it lightly. And like the choir song this morning when I arose, I didn't have a no doubt. Now I felt like preaching. Thank you, choir, for that selection. Woo. Giving honor to God, Pastor Davidson, for this great opportunity, Pastor Emeritus Cole, other ministers, mothers, deacons, members, visitors, and friends. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, and I will be reading from the 5th verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Sorry about that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And it reads as follows. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearers, and the doers of his holy and divine word. I would like to take my subject from the 17th verse. Pray without ceasing. From reading that, I would like to speak on the subject, our link to God. Our link to God. Prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today. Prayer is the greatest contribution that we can make during these critical times in our nation and in our world. I humbly urge you to pray. I mean, really pray. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Paul's command in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing, can be confusing. Obviously, it doesn't mean we are to be in a head bowed, eyes closed posture all day long. Prayer is to be a way of life. It is living in God consciousness, where everything you see and experience becomes a prayer. It should be instant and intimate communication, unlike those we have with our family and friends. To pray without ceasing means when you are tempted, you hold the temptation before Jesus and ask for his help. It means when you experience something good and beautiful, you immediately thank God for it. It means when you meet someone who don't know Jesus, you pray to God and ask God to draw that person to himself and use you to be a faithful witness. It also means when you encounter troubles, you turn to God as your deliverer. Amen. Let prayer be our passion, our practice. Keep in mind, when we are praying, we are in link with God. Let's look at the word link. Link is a chain-like arrangement or something that is linked together. God is our main link. He is our source of supply. He is our creator and sustainer. God wants only the best for us. So if we are not receiving God's best, it is because we are out of touch with God. And when we are out of touch with God, we are out of touch with ourselves, our family, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. God is an important part of mankind's life and development. God's power is like our electricity. If we channel and handle it properly, it will produce some constructive uses. However, if we mishandle that power, we will become shocked or even fried. If you were listening to the radio and all of a sudden the radio went out, you wouldn't stop and call the radio station, would you? Of course not. You would have your radio checked. The problem with our communication with God is not on the immediate end. It's on the receiving end. In other words, it's on our end. Somewhere down the line, there is a dead squirrel. We must maintain open communication with God. We must keep the prayer line open and free of those dead squirrels, because prayer is our link to God. It is clear from scriptures that God always answers our prayers in some matter. There are some guidelines for effective praying. Certain practices and attitudes can hinder our prayer, and in some cases, God will not respond. What are you talking about, Terry? We must be in a right relationship with God and with others in order for our prayers to be effectively heard by God. I want to share with you 5 points, and mind you, there's a whole bunch more, but I want to share with you 5 points that will cause God not to hear our prayers. Number one, concealing unconfessed sins will put a wall between you and God, and He will not hear you. Now, how do you know that, Terry? Psalms 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquities in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Number two, God will not hear the prayers that have wrong or selfish motives. How do you know? James 4 and 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Number three, praying your will and not God's will. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Point number four that will cause God to not to hear our prayers: praying and not believing. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and what? Ye shall have them. And last but not least, unable to forgive someone for something that person has done unto you. And we all have a problem with that, right? Yeah. Mark 11:25 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. This lets me know that we must have restored and right relationship with God, and it is essential for open communication. If prayer is our link to God, then what is God's link to us? I'm glad you asked. The Bible is God's link to us. Yes, God speaks to us through his word. And that is why we must study God's word. When we are linked with God, we take on the character and nature of God in our hearts. The more in touch we are with God, the more like God we become in our spiritual nature. The more time you spend linked to something, the more you will be conformed to the thing that you are linked to. If you spend much of your time with criminals, guess what? You will develop some criminal behavior. On the other hand, if you spend much of your time with God, you will develop God's character. What are the characteristics of God's nature? Galatians 5:22-23 tells us, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are his characteristics. And we are linked to God, his goodness, power, health, prosperity, life, and peace will flow to us. To know God is to know peace. But if you have no God, guess what? You will have no peace. For where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is God. Where there is God, There is no need. For God says, he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. We must have faith, love, peace. But most of all, we must have God. Because without God, we can do nothing. I would like to call on a few people in the Bible who had the characteristics of God. First, I would like to call on Daniel, who had the characteristics of faith. Daniel was a good man who loved God and prayed to God every day. In fact, he prayed 3 times a day. And his enemy knew that he prayed to God and God alone. Daniel was definitely linked up with God. And we all know how the story ended. God sends an angel to take care of Daniel. For you see, Daniel was prayed up and in touch with God. He had the faith that God would deliver him on time. Now, this lets me know that anything we need from God, all we have to do is call him up and tell him what we want, because his line is never busy. You can call him in the morning, even in the evening, and late at night. For he's always on the line, waiting to hear from you. God tells us to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. When you find yourself in a situation and you think there is no way out, I dare you, like the kids say, I even double dare you to call on God, for he will make a way out of no way. So I say to you, keep good, open communication with God, because prayer is our link to God. Now, let's look at goodness, another characteristic of God. Let's call on the Good Samaritan. Now, there was a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and then they stripped him of his goods and wounded him, leaving him half dead. And there came down a priest, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, he came and he looked on him. You know how some of us are, we nosy. We just gonna look on him. Then he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan came where he was, and he saw him and he had compassion on him. This hurt man was a Jew, and usually Jews and Samaritans hated each other. But that didn't stop the Samaritan. He did what he had to do. He went to him and bounded up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own donkey, beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Keep in mind that the Samaritan didn't know this hurt man. Now, I wonder, how many of us would be willing to do this for somebody that we don't know? Not many, because some of us won't even do it for the people that we do know. I know this for a fact, Because when we are asked to do something for somebody, we always have to mumble and grumble about it. But the Good Samaritan didn't mumble or grumble. He did what he had to do. So let us do what we need to do. And when we do, let us not do it for show, but do it for God. And God will repay. The Good Samaritan didn't stop at that. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave it to the host and said, "Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, I will repay when I return." Again, how many of us would do that? Not many. I'm got to put my head down. Not many. Because we see people who need our help and people who ask for help, and we won't even help them. We say, "I got mine. Let them get theirs. If I can work, so can they." But God tells us in Matthew 5 and 42, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." So, if you want to have the characteristics of God, we must have some goodness. And please, please, don't forget about love. The Bible says in John 15 and 17, "These things have I commanded you, that ye love one another." Now, the prodigal son's father had love, that unconditional love. But God has that everlasting love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Now, love just don't get no better than that. We must have joy, that unspeakable joy. To be like God, we must have peace. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind and live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." So let us live in peace with all mankind. Don't forget about long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and temperance. If we have all 9 of these characteristics, we have got the right stuff to be like Jesus. Now, to bring this closer to home, I would like to say that there are people today who have the characteristics of God. I would like to name 2 people that are so dear to me, and I know for a fact that they have the fruits of the Spirit, and that is my big brother, Arthur Kelly Jr., and my sister, Denise Armstrong. For they both have the spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And when I grow up, I want to be just like them. We all must have these fruits of the Spirit, and we're planning on going to heaven. Let us always stay prayed up and in touch with God, because prayer is our main link. For we know not the day nor the hour when our heavenly Father shall come. So watch, therefore, and pray always. The greatest thing anyone can do for mankind is pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the main thing. The greatest people on earth are the people who pray. I don't mean those who talk about prayer, nor those that say they believe in prayer, nor those that can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take the time to pray. And when we pray, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your power. Pray for power equal to your task. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmities that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of man. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. My prayers were truly answered. I would like to read a poem entitled, No Time to Pray. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. Must hurry off and get to work, for bills would soon be due. And so I said a hurried prayer, jumped up from off my knees. My Christian duty now was done. My soul could be at ease. All through the day, I had no time to speak a word of cheer. No time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I feared. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to souls in need. But at last, the time to die. And when before the Lord I came, I stood with downcast eyes. Within his hand, he held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into his book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. The moral of this poem is, spend time with God in prayer, and don't be ashamed to speak of Christ to your friends. Why? Because if we are ashamed of him before our friends, he will be ashamed of us before his Father. And you can find this in Mark 8 and 38. It's hard, but imagine this. Picture this. What if God had an answer machine? Imagine praying and hearing this. Thank you for calling my Father's house. Please select one of the following four options. Press 1 for requests. Press 2 for thanksgivings. Press 3 for complaints. For all other inquiries, press 4. What if God used excuses? All of the angels are busy helping other customers right now. Please stay on the line and your call will be answered in the order that it was received. Imagine getting these kinds of responses as you call on God in prayer. Our computers show that you have called once today already. Please hang up immediately. What about this? This office is closed for the weekend. Please call again Monday. Thank God. We cannot call him too often. We only need to ring once. And God hears us. Because of Jesus, you never get a busy signal. God takes each call and knows each caller personally. All lines to heaven are open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Remember, prayer is our link to God. And when you call, the Lord will answer. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Until we are linked with God, our land, our nation will not be healed. So I say to you, link up to the main link and stay connected. In other words, we need to push, which means pray until something happens.